Pastor Mike. Yeah, give him a round of applause from the house today. Thank you. He made a comment, church, it's a blizzard outside. Now, don't be running to leave because you won't be able to get anywhere. Because, yeah, I come into the worship center and the wind is going sideways. Ever see that, right? Going sideways. We love the sideways wind and rain and snow, don't we? Right? We're Pentecostal people. We love that, right? So if you are at home today, because, you know, it's a blessing, church, to have such a robust broadcast ministry that the church is blessed with. So many people watching us online throughout the many platforms that the church now is broadcasting through. It is a blessing to reach so many people. It's also a blessing for when something like this happens, so many people can go and watch online if they can't make it out. I am sure many of you that are watching, and I got your text messages, by the way, the 435 text messages I got this morning. I didn't need that many, but that's okay. But yeah, it was great. So we welcome you on site. Thank you so much for coming into the house, and really, thank you so much for joining us online on Facebook and on the YouTube channel. And let's see, what else do we do? We do cpoint.church at the website we broadcast, and we do the podcast throughout the week. You'll get a podcast. If you can download the podcast app and listen to the sermon, you can follow along in the sermon notes. You know, every morning we do sermon notes, so you can follow along. Sometimes I follow my own notes, and sometimes I do not. You'll have them, right? You'll have them throughout the week to go back and study while you're doing the weekly devotion, the daily devotions for the week of the message for today. Pastor Mike said I'll probably fill you in on some things. Is that enough? Those student applications are due, Malone students, ones that are watching online. I see you. I know you're there. Please make sure those are into the church office tomorrow. That is a hard deadline, as Pastor Mike talked about. Church, I got this special announcement. You ready? It is Christmas time. Can you believe it? I don't know where the summer went. It's just like, it's a blur, is it not? It's gone. And then we get into Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is here and gone. And all of a sudden, you walk in on a Sunday morning, and it's a Christmas wonderland, right? Amen. Thank you for all of you that stayed after service last week and put up decorations and got engorged in pizza and soda and all those things that we're not supposed to eat, right? Wow, it was great. But thank you so much. We are moving right into the holiday season of Christmas. And guess what that means? We're going to do a Christmas series called Heaven Breaks In. So for the next few weeks, we are going to go into this series. Now, we'll do it each week. We'll take the day off on December 14th and allow the Christmas Jam concert. If you've not been to a concert that the church puts on, this church is gifted with some really talented vocalists and musicians, and you see some of them on a Sunday morning and some you don't, but they rotate and do all those cool things. You'll see them on December 14th. Now, I know some of you have asked, is the pastor going to sing? Is the lead pastor, Brad Myers, going to sing? And I tell you the same thing I tell every single person that asks the lead pastor, no, because my wife fired me. Right? So I can't sing any longer, right? So we're in Thanksgiving, and our daughter does something that she's not supposed to do. So we have three of the four kids there, and that's good for us, right? You get three, if you're a parent with adult children, and you get three of the four there, you know, okay, that's not half bad, because normally you can't get them all there on any given holiday, you know. So we had three of the four there, and our daughter brings her boyfriend. Right, then the oldest brings the girlfriend who's now the fiance, and the story continues, right? So, you know, but our daughter does something that she's not allowed to do, but she doesn't care because she does it anyways. She starts showing this music video of your pastor singing in this church 3-4 years ago when we had this thing out, if we had so many people come to church and all that and online, and if you show up and we broke those record numbers and I had to sing, I never thought we'd get there, and here we are, and then afterwards I got fired. So you won't hear me on December 14th, but that's okay. Church, show up anyways, because you're going to be blessed on December 14th. You okay with that? Yep, give our worship team. I am so appreciative of our worship team. They work so hard. Our worship team works so hard. Hey, we're going to move right into heaven breaks in. Heaven shows up at times that we never expect heaven to show up. Sometimes, church, we recognize heaven showing up, and sometimes we do not. And we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to use some examples what the Bible shows us how heaven shows up when heaven wasn't expected to show up. Right? And let's just jump right in with heaven breaks in. Now, when you think of break-in, you probably think of something bad, right? Because you kind of think like someone's breaking into your house or something, you know, something bad like that. But in the Bible, it's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. Heaven breaks in. So this Christmas series will teach us God doesn't wait for perfect conditions. And we got to say amen because it's not perfect conditions outside right now. He steps right into the middle of real life. Into shadows, he brings light. Into silence, he speaks. Into ordinary places, he reveals himself. The birth of Jesus is heaven's bold announcement that God is closer than we think, and he's more, doing more than we ever anticipated him doing. Today's title for the message, if you have your bulletin, is called Identity Interrupted. Now, if you're in our Wednesday night men's class, we've talked about identity. Men and godliness, things we talked about, we've talked about. So, guys, you may hear one or two things here that I stole from you during our class, right? Now, if you said something in the class and you hear it today, well, that's because it was so good, I wanted everybody to hear it. You okay with that, guys? Nobody says amen. That's okay. That's right. So listen, sometimes the first place heaven breaks into isn't your situation. It's not your situation. It's not your circumstances. It's you, church. It's you and I. And a couple weeks ago when we were doing the series on Thanksgiving, talking about Thanksgiving, right? We talked about the Apostle Paul and how he would write in Ephesians. He was writing about three things, about identity. And identity is who you are, right? Your position, and then what God's going to bless you with, which we call inheritance. And he writes about that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And that's where it all starts, church. So let me demonstrate something here. So listen, it's Christmas time, and if you're like me, and now my wife has jumped on board, we use this service online called Amazon, right? We do. My wife fought it for many years, and now she's really into it because I have the credit cards all programmed. Every time she spends, I see it. Oh, Amazon, just like last night, right? Right? Dear, $395 just for little old me. I appreciate that. No, we use Amazon. How many use Amazon? Come on, be honest with me. You use Amazon, right? Why? Because it's so convenient, right? But, you know, I come across a story about Amazon. It's a good story, but it's kind of cool. It fit today, so I thought I'll demonstrate what I talk about with this identity and how heaven breaks in, and Amazon's a great story, and here it goes. So there was this lady last year who started to receive packages from Amazon. It was to the right address, but the wrong name. She gets this package, it's this big package, and I've read about it, it's got all these wrappings, and you've had Amazon packages before, it's a good size package, right? And she puts it aside because it didn't have her name on it, into her dining room or whatever, right? She kind of thinks, okay, that's not me, what am I going to do with the package? It's the right address, but it's the wrong name. So she waits 2 days and doesn't know what to do, and all of a sudden, two more packages show up again. The correct address, the correct street number, the correct street, the correct city, zip, but wrong name. Two more show up. The next day, three packages show up. The exact same thing. She starts to receive packages with the same address, the wrong name. It went on for a week and a half, roughly 10 days. She's got a half a dozen to a dozen packages building up here coming into the holidays with the correct address and the wrong name. The identity was wrong, but the location was accurate. So what does she do? She does what we would do. She contacts Amazon. Now that's a challenge. I have done that before, right? You can't call them, but she actually did get through. There is a contact number, and you can do it. It's an 800 number, toll-free. So she calls, and as the story goes, she calls into Amazon. She finally gets to one of the Amazon reps who had actually talked to her, and she starts explaining the situation, right? I'm getting all these packages to the correct address, but the wrong name. That's not me. That's not my identity. That's not me. And so they start to dive into the record. And Amazon, of course, keeps great records. And they can see all the addresses that you've put on your profile and all the names and all the places, right? They can do all those things. And they finally come back to her and say, ma'am, did you get married? She says, yeah, I did. She says, well, I can't say the name, right? But did you change your name? She says, yeah, I did. She goes, well, then, are you so-and-so? And she says, yeah, that's me. It was the correct identity. She didn't recognize the identity that she assumed when she got married. So they were sending the packages. And the funny part was, she was the one ordering the packages. But she didn't recognize who she was by the identity because she was just hitting the button and her name was changed. And those packages were Christmas presents that she had ordered. Church, she was married. She had a new identity. She was actually rejecting what rightfully belonged to her. She just didn't feel like that person yet. And church, we do the exact same thing. Heaven calls us redeemed. Heaven calls us saved. Favored. Highly favored, you'll learn today. Accepted. Somebody. But we come back and say, no, we're a failure. We're rejected. We live in fear. We come up with all these descriptions of who we are. And really, God says, no. Heaven says, you are this. And we come back and say, no. And we reject the very identity that God has placed on us. And I'm going to show you in the scripture today how that goes. So you ready for this? In chapter 1 of Luke, it's the story foretelling the birth of Jesus, right? Now, if you know the history, God's kind of silent for 400 years. Now, it's prophetic silence, church. From Malachi until the New Testament, there's about 400 years there, if you know scripture, of what people call God's silence. But it's not really him being silent. It's like prophetic silence. Like he's not sending us, people that are giving prophetic words like Malachi and giving us future, telling us about future things. But he's silent for 400 years. But he's not inactive. See, there's what we think. We think sometimes when God is silent, he's also inactive. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's exactly the opposite. When God is silent, he's moving. So God's moving in 400 years. Now, 400 years to God's nothing. 400 years to you and I is a whole bunch of generations, right? And all of a sudden in Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38, God shows up out of the silence and dispatches the angel Gabriel heading down to earth to go talk to a young lady named Mary. And let's pick it up. It says in Luke 1, 26 through 38, should be on the screen behind me. If you're watching online and the people in the house realize the screen's on your right and your left or the broadcast ministry, all the people online, the screen behind me is for you here on site. So let's jump in. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, she's pregnant with who? John the Baptist. Thank you. God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, the town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Pledged. We know the story, right? A descendant of David. The virgin's name is Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" she says. "Since I'm a virgin, how can I?" She's confused, right? The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age." The angel Gabriel showed up to her a little while earlier, if you know the story. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month of pregnancy. "Something's going to happen, Mary, for no word from God will ever fail." 38 says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Church, let's just do something before we move on. Let's just bow our hearts right now and just have a word of prayer. Father God, thank you. Lord, I don't pray for you to anoint your word. The word is anointed, Lord, but I do pray today that you anoint me to speak it, and you anoint the ears of everyone on site and those online to receive it today. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, the King we speak of. Amen. 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 400 years of what we call silence from heaven. 400 years. The last time we heard from God prophetically speaking was in the book of Malachi. God speaks something. So we're going to jump back 400 years before the angel showed up to talk to Mary, and we're going to go back to Malachi, and I am going to set the stage for the entire series that you're going to hear for the next few weeks as heaven breaks in 400 years earlier. Now, Malachi, one of the prophets, is prophetically speaking some things to exiled, returning from exile, the Jewish people, God's people, right? They were in exile for some time. We've preached on that. We've talked, they're held captive for 70 years. They're coming back. They're settling into life and moving on. And he's there prophetically speaking to them. Now, he's speaking some things that we probably hear today. Like, he talked about divorce. He talked about paying your tithes. He talked about corrupt worship, meaning you guys are going in there and going through the motions, but you're not really right in the heart. So he's prophetically writing about all these things, right? That's what prophets do, right? Speak heaven to the people. Kind of like pastors do today. Pastor Mike and myself, Pastor Nicole, Pastor Amber, Pastor Christine, your pastors on staff here, speak the same types of things. Sometimes it's prophetic. Sometimes it's just things God lays on our heart. But Malachi is speaking 400 years earlier. So let's read it together. In Malachi 4, 5 through 6, he says, "Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah." Now, 400 years earlier, he's writing this. Now, here, he's referring to not Elijah coming back to life. He's talking about John the Baptist. He's talking about another formidable, powerful man who's going to show up 400 years later and pave the way for Jesus. So he says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." We're going to talk about that in a second. "And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers." He promises this. There's going to be something that goes on. So Malachi is talking about the promise. We'll get to it in a second. "Lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." Now he's talking the prophetic warning. So he gives a promise of what could happen. And he warns us that destruction could also show up. He's talking about paving the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes this comment, "the day of the Lord." Church, that's a divine interruption into humanity. That is heaven breaking into humanity. And God does that all the time. But right here, he's talking about a divine interruption. Jesus is coming. Jesus is going to show up. And John the Baptist, he makes the comment of Elijah, but he's referring to John the Baptist. A man like Elijah will show up. And that man, John the Baptist, he'll pave the way for this divine interruption coming to all of us. And it's Jesus Christ. He comments, he says, that he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. He's talking about restoration and repentance. He's talking about identity. He's talking about who you are. He's talking about who you say you are and who you really are. He says there's going to be repentance and there's going to be restoration. From this generation to this generation to this generation to this, there's going to be repentance. And the decision in our identity will have to be made. Are we going to do it? Are we going to be restored to heaven? When heaven breaks in, is that going to happen? Or are we going to say, no, we don't want anything? For generations. Then he makes the comment, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. He's talking about your refusal to repent. It's been offered. Heaven breaks in, but we decide we don't want it. That means the covering of heaven would be lifted and heaven would allow the consequences to show up in our lives from our sin. Choices. Heaven breaks in into our lives through Jesus, and we decide whether we want to receive that or not, and if not, then you're going to suffer the consequences of your own actions. Right? And he talks about turning before that happens. Repent. And then Malachi ends with a warning. He ends with the warning of destruction, but church, in the New Testament, it begins with an interruption from heaven. 400 years later, heaven shows up and breaks into humanity. And let's dive in Luke 1:28, it says, and the angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. 400 years earlier, Malachi prophetically talks about you could be destroyed in destruction, but something's coming. 400 years later, the angel shows up to Mary, and what ended in destruction shows up with highly favored. See, God wasn't inactive. He was transitioning. So heaven shows up at Mary's door, but Mary doesn't recognize heaven. Greetings. You are just highly favored. Her first reaction wasn't to celebrate. You would think once the packages showed up and you understood that they're really for you, you would be like elated. Amazon's shoving packages on your front porch and you don't think they're yours, but all of a sudden you realize they are for me. Heaven showed up and blessed me and blesses me, and she's a little confused, church. So she wasn't celebrating. In Luke 1:29, she makes this phrase. She says, Mary was greatly troubled at the words. Greatly troubled. In the Greek, it means greatly disturbed. Intense shaken. Inner turmoil. Not understanding. It means wrecked. She's wrecked. Like when Amazon tells the lady, those are really your packages. She's like, oh my gosh, how stupid am I? She's wrecked of embarrassment. Mary's just so confused. She comes back in Luke 1:29 and finishes and says, I wonder what kind of greeting this might be. Why? The greeting was, you're highly favored. And so why didn't she receive it right away? The same reason we don't receive it when heaven comes in, she wasn't feeling it. She just wasn't feeling it. I'm just a kid. Some people believe it's 13 or 14 years old, maybe is 15, somewhere in the teenage years, and she's just not feeling it, church. Heaven comes breaking in, but she's not feeling it. But what she didn't realize is God always names you by your future and not by your feelings. He names you by your destiny, not your history, by your calling and not your current conditions. See, church, some of you have spent years not feeling what heaven has been trying to deliver to you because you're feeling wrecked. And so the Amazon packages keep pouring in and you keep rejecting them, saying, that's not who I am. God says, I know that's not who you are, but it's going to be who you are because I've already formed your identity. I already called your name. I already said who you are. All you have to do is just receive it to be it. See, that's the problem. We don't want to receive it to be it. We want to be who we want to be, but God says, no, this is who you are. Now you just need to receive who I say you are. Highly favored. Mary didn't feel highly favored, even though God said she was. And today, heaven's breaking in to speak this new identity over all of us during this Christmas season, but some might not be recognizing it, even though it's already yours. Now, there's a holy pattern in Scripture. Let me read it to you. There's a holy pattern. You'll see it on the screen behind me or on your device in front of you. Before heaven breaks in, before God moves in power, before a miracle comes into view, God speaks who you are. Now, during the Christmas season, we usually do messages about the manger, about the divine intervention, all these things, right, that you've heard a lot, the prophetic words and the virgin birth, it all, we've heard them. I just want to talk a story today and start the series by something that I think is overlooked. It's overlooked that there's these two words in God's word that says highly favored, highly favored. Before Mary ever carried the miracle inside of her, before she became the figure of faith, heaven calls her something she never feels yet. She doesn't feel it, but heaven's going to use it anyways. Let's go deeper. So the angel comes to her and says, greetings, you are a highly favored. That means favored one. That means selected one. Not what she is today, but who she's going to become. Favored, appointed, selected, divine identity, not self-identity, church. It means you're going to be the recipient of something you never earned or had to go after. Unearned grace is going to grow inside of you. And heaven's going to put it there. That's a lot for a young girl to understand, right? Remember Mary's response. Luke 1:29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words, the angel's word, and wonder what kind of greeting can this be? What possibly could you be doing? Mary did not feel favored. Mary did not look favored. Mary's circumstances didn't shout favor, but the angel pronounces heaven's identity over her anyways. I don't care how you're feeling today, church. I don't care what you look like. It doesn't matter. Heaven's got the same identity stamped on your forehead all the time. It says, I don't care how you're feeling. I don't care what you look like, but you're still highly favored. You're still highly favored. You may not have been able to roll yourself out of bed today because you had to grab your device and watch the service online because you're not feeling very well. You're sick in body today. You're still highly favored today. God still says you're highly favored. Watch what happens in God's word because it's amazing how God orchestrates and puts things together. Mary didn't feel favored. She didn't look favored. Her circumstances didn't shout favor, but the angel said you're favored. Anyways, what does that tell us this morning, church, about us? It says God names you by your calling, right? Not your condition. By your future, not your feelings. By his purpose, not your past. Heaven breaks in not just to change your circumstances, but to make you realize who you really are. Church, you are highly favored today. And God's power says you are highly favored. You are His children. Mary is struggling with that. See, church, we concentrate so much on our circumstances, we never really realize sometimes the appointed identity of highly favored upon our lives. And then even when we realize it, we start to make excuses for it. God can't love me like that. God can't. I can't. He doesn't know me that well. I can't do that. Can't be me. Mary's wrecked. Highly favored? Me? Highly favored? How could I be highly favored? Mary's favor becomes our favor. Mary's favor becomes our favor. In the Greek, when the highly favored word is used there, it's called keratotomi. That Greek word shows up again in Ephesians 1:6, like later. Paul writes, God has favored us in the beloved. That means He's favored you in Jesus. The highly favored that falls on Mary's life when heaven breaks into her life and she carries the Savior of the world, Paul says later, the exact same Greek words, he is saying favored, highly favored in Jesus. That is you and I. And it flows all through the New Testament. And it keeps showing up. Why? God wants to drill it into our heads that you are highly favored. So He says it time and time and time again. You're favored. You're highly favored. It means the same favor that fell on Mary falls on you today. Mary carried Christ physically, but you as a believer carry Christ spiritually. Mary was favored because Christ was in her. We are favored because Christ is in us. You see, and the light bulb starts to go on. People are starting to shake. Oh, I get it, Pastor. I'm seeing. I can't believe it. I never saw it like that before. Now I get it. You have Christ inside of you now, but Mary carried Christ inside of her, so you could carry Christ inside of you. Why? Because God says you're highly favored. And heaven broke into Mary's life so it could break into your life and my life as well. So, Mary's favored identity becomes our inheritance. There's that word that I talked about a couple weeks ago that Paul writes about, right? Your inheritance comes from your identity. Your identity comes from heaven. Heaven says you're highly favored. Your inheritance starts to show up. Why? Because you accepted it. Her grace becomes our status. Her name becomes her name and becomes our name. You are more favored, church, than you even realize. Mary struggled with that. Remember, she didn't look favored. She didn't feel favored. She's a teenager. She lives in obscurity, right? She's nobody. She lives under Roman authority. She's nobody. Get ready for this one. She has zero social influence. Say it's not so, right? She doesn't have Instagram or Facebook. No, she's got nothing. I was writing a story the other day, made me laugh. You know, everybody thinks that all these social influencers on social media, right? They make so much money. 1.5% make a half decent income. Less than 1.5% make zero. But they're still there because they want to influence people socially to make themselves do what? To bolster their identity. You don't need that. God showed up and broke in a long time ago and said, you're highly favored already. Right? It's craziness. Why does it matter? God never speaks to you because of what you are. He speaks to you based on what he's going to make you. The enemy tries to steal your identity, to stop your destiny, but God restores your identity to release your destiny. That's the pattern of how heaven breaks in and works. And I'm going to tell you something, church. The enemy has been attacking that identity from day one. And let me tell you where. You'll know the story in the Garden of Eden. There's a spiritual attack going on in the Garden of Eden, right? Now, many of you, if not all of you, know the story. God says that you can do anything you want in the garden. You can eat from anything. But you can't eat from this tree, right? You can't eat from this tree in this part of the garden. I don't want you to stay away, but you can have full reign. God's planting identity in them. Who you are is who I say you are. And you're highly favored because you're living under my authority. Right? In Genesis 3:1, the enemy shows up to Eve and says, Did God really say? Questioning not the temptation of what God said not to do, the enemy shows up and starts attacking identity. Did God really say you couldn't do that? Stop and think. Who are you and who is he? Did he really say that? It escalates, church. Right from the beginning, the enemy coming after your identity of highly favored. The Bible says Satan escalates the conversation. In Genesis 3:5 says, you're going to be like God. See, if you eat from this tree, you're going to be like God. Your identity is going to shift. And now you're going to be just like God. That's identity. You want to know the tragedy? Eve was already like God. Genesis 1:27. So, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. He created her already like God. But the enemy showed up from day one to question and challenge the identity of highly favored in the garden and said, you can be like God. And she listened. Just like we listen today. Church, the Bible says you're highly favored. The Bible says heaven breaks in, and all you have to do is receive being highly favored, and you don't have to say, I live in fear. I don't have to have all these things. Heaven breaks in, and we still have to decide. Church. See, Satan said that day in that garden, you're not enough. You're just not enough. You need something else to be somebody else. And that's the same lie you're being told every single day of our lives. You're not good enough. You don't have enough. If you want something more, you got to do something different. No, you don't. All you have to do is recognize that Jesus says you're highly favored. Follow me, and that's all you need. That's it. And that's what the holiday season's about. Right? God's highly favored people living like God's highly favored people. See, Mary stood right where Eve once stood. But instead of the serpent whispering what she lacks, heaven declared who she is. And she says, you are highly favored. God comes in and says, you're highly favored. You are the favored one. Church, our identity in the kingdom is never achieved. It's always received. You can't achieve it, but you can receive it. And the Holy Spirit, the scripture, comes in and confirms what God called highly favored. Luke 1:35, and the angel Gabriel answered her. She says, I'm a virgin. I can't do it. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High then will overshadow you. New name, new filling. New identity, new filling inside. There's going to be a child inside of you, and that child is going to be filled, and you're going to be filled physically and spiritually. Heaven's going to continue to break in. Heaven never gives you a new name without supplying you with new power. See, your identity is the first place heaven's going to break into. Christmas is not just a story of Jesus coming into the world. It's the story of God reshaping human identity. Church, identity is always God's first miracle. Why is that? Because identity determines everything else in your life. See, if you don't believe that you're highly favored, you won't be. If you leave the sanctuary today or turn off your device and say, I am highly favored, you will be. God honors that. Why? Because he said every single believer, every single person is highly favored. It is us who accepts that identity or not. And church, in this Christmas season, as we go through this series, I'm going to challenge you to accept the identity that God gave Mary, that gave you and I, that we're highly favored. Watch what happens as we wind it up today. Mary accepts this new identity. Watch what happens. It's amazing. We probably read it a million times. We probably never saw it. Luke 1:38, I am the Lord's servant, she answers. May your word be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Now, I'm going to show you a point there that we probably never see. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But she accepts this new identity. What's the new identity? You are highly favored. And then she starts to realize, I am highly favored. I am. Why? Because heaven broke in and says I am. And then the scripture says, then the angel left her. You notice the angel didn't leave until something supernatural happened. And what's the supernatural thing that happened? Heaven's identity finally matches the identity of Mary. She accepts it. And once the identities come together, church, the angel said, my job here is over. I was dispatched from heaven to come to earth, grab this young girl and say, you are highly favored. And once she accepted the highly favored status from heaven, the angel left because the reconciliation, the restoration, the coming together of identity showed up. God says, you're highly favored. I finally say I'm highly favored. They come together. The enemy is fleeing. And the angel said, I can go back. Why? Heaven broke in and she received it. I'm out of here. See, we don't see that a lot. We don't see that a lot. I call that identity agreement. And in a society today that wants to mess with our identities, God says you're highly favored. You're different. God calls you highly favored. Heaven breaks in this Christmas season. It says you're highly favored. And I'm going to challenge Cross Point Church, both on site and online, to walk out of here, shut off your device today, saying, I am highly favored. I don't care what it looks like. I am. And you're going to watch throughout this Christmas season, heaven will continue to break in more. What happened to Mary after she accepted the new identity? She had a child. The Savior of the world. To give you a new identity called highly favored. How's that? This launch a series, church. So I'm going to do the same. The same thing that God, heaven, did for Mary. I feel so led to do to you today. To help you understand that you are highly favored. And the only way that you could do that is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and do exactly what Malachi started to talk about. And we picked up 400 years later, you're highly favored. You're going to repent and restore the identity that God placed in you in the first place. Church, I'm going to ask you, just bow your hearts. Close your eyes. If you're watching online today, I'll ask you to do the same thing. Just bow your hearts, close your eyes, and just listen. Because the pastor is preaching that you are highly favored today. And as we search inside of us and we say, I can't be. There's just no way I could be. You're allowing the enemy to pull you in the wrong direction when God says you are highly favored and I'm breaking into your life right where you're at. And you're feeling wrecked, but I'm going to come in and change that today. So. church, if that is what you're feeling this morning, you're knowing that God is breaking into your life and saying, listen, I've got this son of mine. And all you have to do is follow him. Allow him to break into your life and pull down the strongholds and make a transition in you from where you're at to where you're going. You don't see it yet. You don't feel it yet. You're feeling wrecked, but all you got to do here in a second is make a proclamation to heaven and wave a banner of your hand when the pastor asks you to, and heaven breaks in. If that is you today, church, I would ask you just to slip up your hand for me. I see the hand in front. I see the hand in the middle. I see the hands in the back. Is there anybody else? I see all those hands. So many hands. Anybody else? Once you put your hand up, you can put it down. Anybody else? Many. Anybody? Thank you for the hand over on the side. Is there anybody else? Heaven is coming in and breaking into our lives. Why? Because you are highly favored. Anybody else? Father God, in Jesus' name, Father God, you watched the hands raised in the worship center. Lord God, you saw the hands online, ones that I couldn't physically see. Lord God, I thank you for those hands. Lord God, in this holiday season, I pray, Lord God, and thank you that hands were raised because they are accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord God, we thank you for that. Lord God, I pray as they depart the worship center today or shut their devices off online, that they continue to settle into they are highly favored, the status of being highly favored, because they've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We thank you for that, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Church, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today, we want to help you out. On the screen behind me and on the screen as you watch on your devices, you'll see a QR code. You can scan that QR code and you'll get all the information you need for the church to walk alongside you in your new identity. You scan that QR code and it will give you all the instructions that you need. We are going to be here with you, for you, and celebrate that you have a new identity. You know, I was just going to end the service here. I'm just feeling like there's something else we need to do. We have new believers in the building today. Highly favored. Church, we have believers in the building today that have forgot they are highly favored. And they need to hear some words today. They need to hear some words that says they're favored, they're chosen, and they're mine. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to hear those words today. As our worship team begins to play, I'm going to ask the church, those that have accepted Jesus Christ, raise your hands. And those that need us to hear those words, favor, chosen, mine again, to rally around the altar. We're going to come together as a church right before we leave today and allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit did to Mary, broke in. Church, if that is you and you need to hear chosen, favored, mine today, or if you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would challenge you to come around the altar, raise your hands, and say, Holy Spirit, overshadow me. Tell me I'm favored. Tell me you're mine. In Jesus' name, let's celebrate together as a church.
offering. Your favor today, church. Father, we're going to pray to the Father before you leave today, before you shut off that device at home. Bow your hearts with your pastor and let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord God, I pray that the Holy Spirit continues to break in. I pray, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit continues to overshadow each and every one of us, just like Mary. Lord God, as heaven breaks in, Lord God, let us receive highly favored status, Lord. Let us not reject it. Let us receive it because you've already designated it. Lord God, as we depart the worship center and shut off those devices today, Lord God, don't let the enemy steal it from us. Lord God, I pray a wall of protection around each and every one of us, Lord. Raise a standard against the enemy, Lord God, and allow us to walk in highly favored status. I pray for that, Lord God. Let our identities come alive again, Lord. For those in the worship center online struggling, believers struggling with being highly favored, Lord God, I pray that they see they've been selected. Let them see they've been chosen. Let them see that you say you are mine today. Let them receive it today, Lord God. Lord God, speak over us things that we just don't see yet. Just like you did with Mary. And I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. Church, I believe the Christmas season. Yes, give them a, you could give them praise, yes. Church, I believe this Christmas season, heaven is going to break into our identities and reshape us and restore us. Restore how we see each other. Restore how we see ourselves. And church, once we realize you're highly favored, you can step into everything God's called you to carry. The inner whisper inside of you saying you are highly favored. Church, I challenge you to leave today and walk in that feeling. That adoption, in Jesus' name, I call it for you. I take him at his word, don't you? Let's go out today singing that song, Lord. Hallelujah. Have a great week.